Good morning, everyone. Hey, that was a good morning. It's always good to get a good morning, isn't it? My name's Dave King. For those who don't know me, some of you know me quite well, and hello. For those that don't know me, my name's Dave King, and I've grown up and lived in Salford. I'll be 60 this year, I'm getting old. For a long time. For many years I worked predominantly in Salford, but the last 10 years my life's changed quite a bit, and I now work across the country with the different unity movements of churches working in towns and cities, and we connected internationally. So we've got about 150 towns and cities we're working with across UK, and then about 500-600 we're connected to globally. So it's meant I've had to get on an aeroplane. First time on an aeroplane when I was 50. So it's been a change for me. But it's been a change because I never realised how unusual my name was, David King, until I handed my passport in. Because on your passport, your surname comes first, doesn't it? So the first time I went on a long-haul flight, I went to South Africa. And we're doing some stuff in South Africa. Some amazing churches in Johannesburg and Pretoria. And doing some amazing stuff in South Africa. I got off the plane, and Roger, I work with, he's coaching me because he knows I'm likely to say the wrong thing in immigration when you're going through. So he's coaching me what to say. So I go up to immigration, I have my passport in, and this guy looks at me. He opens the passport. Roger's in the next booth, being asked 101 questions. He opens up my passport and he went, King David? And I went, yes. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, straight through. That was the first time. Then, a few years later, I went to Israel. You think South Africa is, it's a well-known name. I've got places named all after me in Jerusalem. I went to Israel. It's a true story. Going in was fine. Then we went to Jordan and came back out of Jordan. That was fine. Karen got stopped and had all the baggage searched and emptied out and everything. But I was fine. But then we came back. Then I'm coming out of the airport at Tel Aviv. I handed my passport. And this lady at the passport control, she opened it up and went, is that your real name? Well, there's people there with guns and everything. I'm not going to say no, it's just a joke. So I said, yes, that's my real name. She said, wait there. All the rest had gone from, stood there with these guns. And then she brought five or six people, and two armed guards came out with the guns. And they looked at me, and they passed the passport slowly down the line. I'm looking, going, I ain't going home. And it got to the last minute, and she said, we just wanted to all look at you. We've never seen King David leave Israel before. So you can tell life's changed, life's interesting. But I just want to pick up just at the start of the talk today. I want us to look at just initially look at a verse from Nehemiah, but then we're going to look at three different short passages to help us think some things through. So, in Nehemiah, it says this, and you can tell the guy with it who needs glasses now, he keeps on doing this when he's reading. In Nehemiah 8:10, it just says this, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy the choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing. This day is holy to our Lord, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm a bit of a weakling, I like a bit of strength. But when you think about this, what were they doing? They were building the wall of Jerusalem. They were family next to family next to family. They were in unison, they were in unity, building this wall. And then they were coming with Ezra the priest to listen to the word of God, because they were hungry. You're hungry for God. You're hungry to learn more. They were hungry. They wanted the presence of God. They wanted to get back in that right place with God. They wanted to be where they needed to be with God. So they were gathering together and listening to the reading of the Word of God. And then they came under conviction. And as they came under conviction, they were thinking, oh, we've really messed up here. We need to put this right. But this is what Nehemiah said. Before they came to put it right with God, they were told to celebrate the things of God. And remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you think about that for a minute. That that I find the joy of the Lord is when I push into God and I know Him more and He reveals more of Himself to me, and I realise that He loves me and He cares about me and He has a heart of compassion for me, and that joy starts to well up in me, and that strength in that joy of the Lord appears in me, and I think, wow, I am King David. But that's when he talks about the joy of the Lord. You see, the joy of the Lord comes from abiding in Him. They'd lost it because they'd gone away from Him. The joy of the Lord starts off with abiding in Him. But they want the joy of the Lord, but they also have got God's heart for their place because they're building the wall. And I want to think, first of all, about abiding in Him. Then about how God sees place. And then I want us to start to think about the overflow from abiding in Him into our place. What does that look like? When I was a kid in Sunday school many years ago, I have to say, remember Joy's mum used to say to me, I remember you when you had short trousers on you. Your mum used to bring you around the ladies' meetings. And you have to sit there and be quiet while my mum did the talks. But when we were kids, you used to sing a song, My Cup's Fallen, Running Over. Don't know if any, you have to be really old to remember that one. Yes, thank you. Remember that one. But what am I running over with? What's the overflow from me to those around me? That's challenging, isn't it? When people are near me, what's overflowing? What's coming to them from me? So let's have a look at this. First of all, let's look at this passage abiding. We're going to read from John 15. John 15. And reading from verse 5. And it says this: I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I have loved you. Just stop there for a minute. As the Father has loved me, so have I have loved you. What does it tell us in 1 John? God is love. As my Father has loved me, that is such a pure, perfect love. Think about that for a minute. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You are loved by Christ with the same love His Father loves Him. You might say to people, but Dave, you don't want my life's been like. No, stop. Just because you sinned didn't stop him going to the cross for you out of that love. It made him go to the cross. That doesn't discredit you from being loved like that. He loves you in that way. This morning, you are loved. Whatever your backstory is, whatever your history is, wherever you've come from, whatever you think you've done, you are loved. And he goes on to say, he says there, I'll read that again from verse 9, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain or abide, in other words, stay in my love. Don't drift. I'm doing actions now. I could do an action song. Don't drift. Stay. Stay in His love. How do I stay in His love? keep your eyes on him. If I take my eyes off him, guess what? I'm going to drift. If I got my eyes on him and I'm focusing on him and I'm abiding in him, guess where I'm going to stay? I'm going to stay in his love. I don't know about you. I far prefer to be loved than this light. It's just a personal choice. I like to be loved. I respond to love. I was made to respond to being loved. It does something for me. And he's asking us, he's saying, as a father's loved me, so I loved you, now remain there. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, he says this, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy, listen to this, I have told you this so my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Hold on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Here he's telling us that I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Complete means to lack nothing. Wow. I'm full of joy. Listen, isn't it? If you think about it. I'm full of the joy of God because I'm abiding in him. I'm not moving out of his love. I'm pursuing his presence. I'm pushing into him. Now, that doesn't just mean when I'm in here on a Sunday. Pushing through him in here. But it means wherever I go during the week, I'm going to go with him. Because what does the Bible tell us? He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there with us. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was a minister. And my dad had a church on this other precinct where all the flats are. And with the church, was a big youth centre, and there's 250 kids in the junior club, and 175 in the senior club, and loads of people on the estate knew him, Pastor King. I was a little kid in the short trousers that we had to wear in those days, walking around. But I used to stick my dad in, hand in my dad's hand. It's hard to guess, this bald-headed old bloke used to be a little kid, but he did. And he used to walk with my dad around the estate. And my dad would go, people are that onto my dad. And he'd go, that's Mrs. So-and-so, or Mr. So-and-so, or that's so-and-so. And they're from there, and that's so-and-so's dad, or whatever. Because I used to walk with my dad through the estate with my hand in his hand. And he would show me and tell me about the estate, about who was who and what was what. Because he knew it. Now I'm older, I can't walk with my hand in my dad's hand anymore. But I walk with my hand in my Abba dad's hand. Because he knows. He knows what you're going to go through this week. He knows who you're going to see this week. He knows who you're going to meet with this week. So as I abide in him continually, as I stay in that love, as that joy gives me the strength for the week, I walk my hand in his hand and I listen to his voice. Wow. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? Ain't nothing going to surprise my dad. Ain't no one bigger than my dad. There isn't anything that my dad can't get us through. And I mean that totally respectfully. Some of us are going through hard times. Some of us will have been through hard times. But he's with me. Because he never leaves me. And he never forsakes me. My part is to push in and abide. And stay in his love. And receive that joy. And get that strength. Goes on to say, I've told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. Do what I command. I no longer call you servants. A servant doesn't know the master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Think about that. Everything Jesus, the Son, learned from the Father, He is giving you chance to learn. His revelation, He's revealing it to you. Think about what means that for you personally, but think about what that means for the places you will go, and the places we live in, the places we work in, the places we visit, the places we may be members of or whatever. That we have access to know what the Father's will is and what the Father's purpose is. Let's think about land and about place for a minute. Just take me a second to find that. Just read this to you. This is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. So who's the Word? Jesus. Nothing's been made without Him speaking. So when we look at Genesis chapter 1, let's read verse 2 first. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So you've got the Spirit of God hovering, or in other versions it will say brooding, ready to give birth. The Spirit brooding, the Son is the Word, and the Word is ready to speak. And it says this, verses 9 and 10, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters He called sea. And God saw it was good. Now, who was the part of the Godhead that spoke? Jesus. Said of Jesus, he only ever did the Father's will. So Jesus would not speak something that wasn't the Father's will. The Holy Spirit wouldn't brood over the deep if it wasn't the Father's will. So the Father willed for creation to happen. The Son spoke out, and the Spirit that was brooding birthed and caused into being. What did He cause into being? Land. Think about this for a minute. What is this building built upon? Land. Who spoke for this land to come into being? Jesus. Why did He speak? It was the Father's will. And the Holy Spirit was brooding over it and birthing it. When I'm stood in Mount Chapel, I'm stood on a baptistry there, and I'm stood in firm ground. When I'm stood on firm ground, when you think about this, it was when Jesus spoke that this piece of ground, now the bulldozers may have moved it round a bit, but this piece of ground came into being when He spoke. Now, does He have a purpose for land? Yes. Does He have a purpose for place? Yes. He created it for a purpose, and it was good. So when I'm walking down my street where I live and I open my front door, guess what? I'm walking on land that my Father willed it to be. The Son spoke it out, and the Holy Spirit moved in power, and He's got a purpose for it, and He says it's good. So when Jesus said in that other passage that He's revealing everything the Father has revealed to Him, He's revealing to us. When I'm walking down the street with my hand in my Father's hand, and I'm in that communion, that place of abiding with Him, He's going to show me what to pray for, what to speak out, what's a call for in a place. Because he's got a heart of compassion. He wants the best in a place. He wants the right things in a place. He wants people to come to him, yes. But he doesn't just want people to come to him. He wants people to come to him and live a life in all its fullness. So I'm walking down the street. The Bible calls me an ambassador of Christ. When I'm walking down the street, I'm abiding with Christ in the private space, in church, in my quiet time, yes. But when I'm walking down the street, I'm abiding with him, listening to him, under command, as it were, for what to speak and what to say. Because I want to be like Christ and only ever say what the Father would say and only ever do what the Father would do. Can a city change? Can a neighbourhood change? Can a community change? Guess what? I feel like Bob the Builder. Yes, it can. It can. Things change. But somebody's got to take a responsibility in Christ. Somebody's got to live up to what they've been called to be. Somebody's got to speak the words. Notice at creation, the words have to be spoken. Somebody's got to be abiding in the presence of God to hear what God says. From that abiding, there comes an overflow. Just our last passage here. She's going to read from just one verse from Romans. Romans 15, verse 13. And Paul's telling them all to become one, that they're one, the Gentiles and the Jews are all one. And then he says this, may the God of all hope, we've got a hope that is steadfast and certain. I'm standing on rock, certain. We've got a hope, may the God of all hope fill you with what? All joy and peace. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. The joy of the Lord that strengthens us. All peace. Now this would have been written in Greek, but the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means a completeness, a fullness of God. Everything God's got for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust. To trust, I have to abide. I have to be in him to trust him. With all trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you walk down the street, you are overflowing. When you go to Tesco, all the supermarkets are available, and you probably shop other places, but I'm a bit of a Tesco lad. It's just around the corner. I thought, a Tesco, what queue do you pick? Do you ever pick the one with the shortest queue? How about this for overflowing? Look up and down the queue and go, Dad, which queue do you want me to get into? Because who knows that the person you get behind in the queue and you have a bit of a chit-chat with as you're waiting, who knows that God hasn't got a word for you of an encouragement for that person? Who knows that God doesn't want you to speak to that person on the till who's scanning your stuff through? Beep, 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 are they doing that? What we need to be is open. Open to God. Just say this as we're finishing. I've just had a really immense privilege the last number of years to do a bit of travelling. Still get a bit nervous about being away from home. Don't like it. I like being home. I'm a bit of a home bird. But I'll tell you this. We've seen God change some things in Salford over the last 30 years. When you look back the last 20, 30 years, Salford is a very different place. Yeah, so I go around the world. I went to America. We went and we got took into the Senate. I've been very privileged to go into a certain place. We got took into the Senate and we met a guy called Barry Black, who's the chaplain of the Senate. And we sat down with him. And we started to talk about places God's changed. I was in Washington, because I was speaking, and there was over 1,000 different people from cities around the world talking about God changing the cities, from places in India. I'll tell you this, the church leaders in India get up at 5 every morning to pray, and then they mentor their young leaders at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're on a different planet in India. They work the socks off. But around the world, you're seeing God move, because people are putting their hand in his hand. People are loving each other as they love him. They're abiding and they're believing. God loves me. God loves my brothers and sisters. God loves this place, and he's got something special for this place. And we're going to walk it out with him. We're going to listen to him. We're going to hear his words and see him move. Can I just pray with you just before I finish? Father God, I just want to thank you for this place on Mount Chapel. I want to thank you for every person in this room. I want to thank you for their lived experience, their story. I want to thank you for the life they are now in, and what they're dealing with and what they're coping with. I just want to pray this. Father God, may they know you more and know more of you. May you bless them. May you draw close to them. If they don't know you, may they know you as their Lord and Saviour. But then may they grow in you to that fullness of God. May they know you more. Bless them, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.